Psalm 102, let us just take the time, please, to read this psalm through. So, Psalm 102, and we're reading, please, from the first verse. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. Now that verse in itself surely speaks to us of the horrors of the Holocaust. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. You see, that's exactly what happened to the Jewish people that were murdered by Hitler. Whenever Hitler gassed the Jewish people to death, he cremated their bodies. Their bodies and their bones were burned. Perhaps some people don't realize what actually happened, but that's exactly what happened. Most people have heard of the gas chambers, but not many people have heard of the crematoriums that were used to destroy the bodies of the Jewish people after they had been gassed to death. And I believe even in Psalm 102, in this third verse, there is a sad reference to the day that would come whenever so many Jewish people, 6 million in total, would be murdered so cruelly, and then would be cremated and burned. Verse 4, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. And you see the image there, the idea there is of loneliness, utter loneliness, utter isolation. And surely that's what happened during the Second World War, whenever the Jewish people suffered so much. You know, friends, back during Hitler's regime, emphasis was placed on the Jewish people, and Hitler had a particular hatred for the Jewish people. And it seemed as if the Jewish people were being selected and isolated. And Hitler was isolating them. And indeed, Hitler, one of his practices was to go into a city where there was a Jewish population, and he would actually isolate the Jews. He would cut them off from the other inhabitants of the city, and he would build walls around their houses and around the area where the Jewish people lived, and it became what was known as a ghetto. And after Hitler had isolated them, and after the Jewish people had been selected, then of course he deported them to the concentration camps and brutally murdered them. So even in Psalm 102 here, there is a picture of this utter loneliness, this utter desolation of the Jewish people during the reign of Hitler. Verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Again, the idea of loneliness and helplessness. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. You know, friends, even in those two verses, verses 19 and 20, surely there is a reference to the mercy of the Lord that brought about the liberation of those concentration camps. Speaks here of the Lord looking down from the height of his sanctuary. Verse 20, to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Surely that's the people who in 1945 were still in the concentration camps. And they were groaning under the cruelty and the horrors of Hitler's regime. But thank God the Lord heard the groaning of the prisoners. And thank God on the 27th of January, 1945, the Red Army of Russia came to Auschwitz, to the concentration camp there in Poland, and liberated those prisoners. Verse 21, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So Romans chapter 8, and we'll read from the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And surely that 36th verse is a reminder of the awful sufferings of the Jewish people during the Holocaust. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And you know, in the Holocaust, that's exactly what happened. Day by day, hour by hour, countless Jewish people were herded into the gas chambers and were brutally murdered. They were like sheep for the slaughter. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, as we have already said, on Wednesday past, it was Holocaust Memorial Day. And every year on the 27th of January, there are many people who look back to the Holocaust and give thanks to God for the deliverance that took place on January the 27th, 1945. And that was the day, of course, whenever the concentration camp at Auschwitz, Birkenau, was liberated by the Red Army. And we thank God for that day. And it is important at this time of year, whether it's on the 27th of January or some day, some Sunday near to that date, I believe it is important for us to look back to the Holocaust and to seek to learn from it. There were 11 million people who died in the Holocaust. 6 million Jews. There were disabled people, gypsies, many other people who were murdered by Hitler. But the large percentage of the people who were murdered were Jewish people. It seemed to be that Hitler singled out the Jewish people. It seemed to be that in the heart of Adolf Hitler there was a deep, indescribable hatred toward the people of Israel. And he began on a pathway that would lead him to murder 6 million of the Lord's ancient people. You see, the Holocaust wasn't something that happened overnight. Dear friends, please don't think that one morning Adolf Hitler got up and he decided, oh, today I'm going to go out and I'm going to murder Jewish people. Hitler did not just decide one morning that day he was going to go out and slaughter thousands, indeed millions of Jewish people. This was something that was planned years in advance. This was something that was organized. This was something that was down on paper. The Holocaust was planned. Architects and psychologists and doctors and all sorts of professional people were involved in this. You would find it hard to believe that man could stoop so low as to sit down and plan the murder of so many innocent people. But surely that teaches us what is in the heart of man by nature. Surely it teaches us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so this was planned. The Holocaust was planned. And people sat down years in advance with Hitler and they planned it out. Now, where will it take place? And how are we going to do it? And what buildings would need to be erected and what camps will need to be erected for this purpose? And of course, many concentration camps were built and prepared. And there were areas where people were accommodated, living quarters, and they were planned. And there were, of course, the gas chambers. That was all planned. And also the crematoriums. And all of the buildings that were necessary, they were prepared years in advance. And people were sitting down with Hitler and they were drawing it all out on paper, planning it all on paper, preparing for the murder of 6 million Jewish people. And of course, whenever the whole thing began to take hold, Jews from all over Europe were deported to Poland and to other countries where there were concentration camps. Jews were deported from Italy. And you know, the sad thing about the deportation from Italy was that whenever it was going on, the Pope at that time knew all about it. His name was Pope Pius XII. And the Pope in Rome knew all about it. He knew what was going on. He knew that the Nazis had come to Italy and that they were taking Jewish people to murder them in the concentration camps. But he did nothing. He remained silent. You see, today Rome is trying to be friends with Israel. And the Pope, even Pope Benedict, has recently visited Jerusalem. And he even went to the Holocaust Museum. And you see, he is trying to portray an image of Rome being a friend of Israel and a friend of the Jewish people. But actually, Rome is the enemy of the Jewish people. And during the Second World War, and during the Holocaust, Rome was the enemy of the Jews. And while Jewish people were being deported from Rome and from other parts of Italy, Pope Pius XII remained silent. Of course, another fact that is often overlooked by people is that Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic. Hitler was a Roman Catholic. Can you see how wicked a faith Roman Catholicism is? We don't have any hatred in our hearts for Roman Catholic people. Please don't mistake me when I speak about Roman Catholicism. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the Roman Catholics, just as much as he died for Protestants or any other people. And yet our problem today is with Roman Catholicism, with the system and with the whole system of beliefs. And our problem today is with Rome's role during the Holocaust. And whenever the time came for people to speak out and to speak up, Rome remained silent. I want us today, please, to focus on three groups of people who were caught up in the Holocaust. I want us to think about the victims of the Holocaust. The victims. I want us to then move on to the survivors of the Holocaust. And then we'll finish off by looking at the rescuers, or the saviors, we could say, in the Holocaust. First of all, I want us to think about the victims of the Holocaust. You see, we have already told you that there were 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust. Four times the population of Northern Ireland died in the Holocaust. And they were all Jewish people. 6 million Jewish people. Most of them are unknowns. But there are some people whose names are well known. I'm sure we have all heard of Anne Frank. Anne Frank was one of the victims of the Holocaust. She wrote her diary, and school children today are still taught about Anne Frank and about her diary. Well, she was one of the victims of the Holocaust. She never came out of the concentration camps. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is another well-known victim of the Holocaust. He was a man who wrote many Christian books. He wrote much Christian literature. He was a German pastor, and he stood up against the Nazis. He stood up against Hitler's regime, but he paid for it with his life. And Bonhoeffer, like Anne Frank, did not come out of the concentration camp. But there were many other people apart from these two famous people, many other people whose names are not known today. We don't know their names. They are unknowns, but they were equally victims of the Holocaust. Do you know that there were 1.5 million children killed in the Holocaust? Can you believe that? How could someone be so cruel and so full of hatred and so full of bitterness to murder 1.5 million children in cold blood? Little children. But that's what Hitler was responsible for. Oh, how sad it is when we think of the victims of the Holocaust. The term Holocaust literally means completely burnt. Completely burnt. And of course, unfortunately and sadly, that's what happened to the Jewish people. They were taken to the gas chambers, gassed to death, and then taken to the incinerators or the crematoriums and burned. Many of the Jews did not even realize that the gas chambers were there. And even when they were brought out of their living quarters and taken to the gas chambers, and even when they were queuing up to go into the gas chambers, they didn't realize what was happening. And tragically, 6 million of the Jewish people went to their deaths. They went to the gas chambers and they went to the crematoriums, and they were completely burnt. I want us to think about that word Holocaust for a moment, because as I've already said, it means to be completely burnt. It comes from two Greek words, hollow and kostum. The first word hollow means completely. The second word kostum means burnt. And this is a very appropriate term for what the Jewish people went through. This is a very suitable term, a very suitable word that's used for the suffering and the death of the Jewish people. But you know, dear friends, surely whenever we think of this cruel death that came to the Jewish people, surely we should think of that awful place that the Bible describes as the lake of fire. That place of burning. Yes, we're thinking today about how the Jews were taken and they were murdered and they were burned. But dear friends, the Bible speaks of a place of even more terrifying burning, a place of everlasting burnings. Revelation 20 and verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What a terrible scene this is. Here we have John the Apostle, and he is describing for us the scene at the great white throne of judgment. And you know, dear friends, here are people who are standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps some of them have gone to church. And some of them have been respectable people. Decent people. People who were upright. People who were held in high esteem. And yet they're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ searches through the book of life for a record of their names. But their names are not found there. And surely this is the most solemn and the most... this is surely the most heartbreaking verse in Scripture. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Yes, it was terrible for the Jewish people to be burned by Hitler. But it will be even more terrible. It will be infinitely more terrible for a soul perhaps gathered in this church today, gathered in this congregation today, to be standing before Christ. And their names aren't found written in the book of life, and the Lord Jesus will have no option but to condemn them and they will be cast into the lake of fire, simply because their names were not written in the book of life. Tell me this today. Is your name written in the book of life? Because if it's not, dear friend, if it's not, you will go to this place. This will be your final and eternal dwelling place, the lake of fire. You see, every one of us today, as we look back those 65, 70 years to the Holocaust, we are all appalled at the brutality and the barbarity of Adolf Hitler, particularly as it was directed against the Jewish people. And we could look back today, dear friend, and you could look back today with horror, and yet you could end up in the lake of fire. You could end up going to a far worse place than those poor Jewish people went to 70 years ago. Leaving the straight and narrow way, going the downward road today, sad will their final ending be, lost through a long eternity. Of course, today there are people in our world who are Holocaust deniers. I'm sure you've heard of them. Holocaust deniers. In other words, they say that the Holocaust didn't take place. Hitler did not murder 6 million Jews. They deny the Holocaust. They deny that 6 million Jews were taken to the gas chambers. They deny that those 6 million Jews were taken to the crematoriums and burned. Do you know that in our world today there are people who deny the existence of hell? There are even people in pulpits today who deny the existence of hell. You go into their churches and you'll never hear them preach about hell. You'll never hear them warn their congregations about hell. But as J.C. Ryle said on one occasion, if I fail to preach to my congregation about hell, then I am an accomplice of the devil. You see, preachers who fail to warn their congregations about hell are doing the devil's work. Now, dear friend, today, I would rather not be preaching about hell. I would rather not be preaching about the place of everlasting burnings. I would much rather preach about any other subject in the Bible. But you see, there's coming a day whenever this preacher will also stand before Jesus Christ. And I'll have to answer for my preaching. And on that day, the Lord Jesus Christ will turn to me and he will say to me, "Did you warn the people? Did you warn them about the place of everlasting burnings? That place that is infinitely worse than the crematoriums of Hitler. The incinerators of Hitler, where my beloved ancient people were burned by the millions. Preacher, did you warn the congregation in new buildings about this place, the lake of fire?" Well, let me come back to the question. Is your name written in the book of life? I didn't ask, do you go to church? I didn't ask, do you give to charities? I didn't ask, have you donated to the earthquake appeal? I didn't ask any of those questions. I simply asked, is your name written in the book of life? Ah, dear friends, that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, that's all that will matter. So first of all, we think of the victims of the Holocaust. And then we think of the survivors of the Holocaust. Thank God that there were many survivors from the Holocaust. Even though 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, thank God there were many Jews who were spared. Many Jews who outlived Hitler's concentration camps. We've all heard of Robert Maxwell. Remember Robert Maxwell, who seemingly was lost at sea. I'm sure it's maybe 15 years ago now. We have all heard of Robert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell was a Jew and he survived the Holocaust. Corrie ten Boom. We have all heard of Corrie ten Boom. She too was another survivor from the Holocaust. Simon Wiesenthal, another famous survivor of the Holocaust. And of course, Simon Wiesenthal, ever since the Holocaust, has been hunting for Nazis, for SS officers, seeking to bring them to justice for their crimes. And thank God there were many other survivors of the Holocaust. Many others who escaped the burnings. Tell me this, dear friend, will you escape the burnings of hell? You can. Thank God you can escape from that terrible destination. You can be delivered from damnation. There is no reason for anyone to end up in hell. You see, it is possible to be a survivor in a sense. It is possible to be a spiritual survivor. We can escape hell through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood of the Lamb, we can escape the lake of fire. Psalm 124, verse 7, we sung that psalm at the beginning of the meeting. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. You see, dear friend, today, if I can put it like this, you as you sit here in this congregation, in your unsaved condition, you are just like a bird in a trap. And you cannot break free. And the hunter is coming for you. But there is someone who can set you free. The Lord Jesus Christ can come to the trap. And he can open the trap, he can release the snare, and you can escape, just like the bird escapes from the snare of the fowler. And the Lord Jesus Christ today desires that you would escape. He came into this world and he gave his life on Calvary's cross so that you might be a survivor. And the hymn writer put it like this. Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall their happy portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Oh, thank God that there is good news today. Good news for the people in this congregation today. Good news for the people in new buildings today. Good news for this land of Ulster. The good news is that there is an escape. There is a way of escape. There is salvation. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. Can you imagine how joyful those Jewish people must have been who were in Auschwitz on the 27th of January 1945, whenever the Red Army came knocking at the door and they said, "You're free. Hitler has fallen. His regime has been brought down and the concentration camps are being dismantled. You're free. You can go back home." Can you imagine how ecstatic those people must have been? Oh, praise the Lord for that day 65 years ago, whenever the good news came to the concentration camps. But, oh, dear friend, you ought to be much more ecstatic today. How much more joyful you ought to be today as you hear the message of the gospel, as you hear of a way of escape. And it's offered to you today. It's offered to people who will listen to this CD. It's being offered to people listening on the internet. The gospel, the good news. Thank God that it is possible to be a survivor, as it were. But then I want us to finish today with one or two thoughts about those who rescued the Jewish people. And time has gone, so we just want to be very brief about this. But thank God for the people who were involved in saving Jews from Hitler. And I'm sure that one name springs to mind today in particular. The name Oskar Schindler. Some of you might have seen Schindler's List, the film that Steven Spielberg produced and directed not very long ago. Schindler's List was a very powerful film. And of course, those of you who saw it will know that Liam Neeson was the main character. He played Oskar Schindler. Well, Oskar Schindler, during the Nazi regime, Schindler saved 1,200 Jews from the gas chambers. And you know, Jewish people today look up to Oskar Schindler. They revere the name of Schindler because of what he did for their nation all those years ago. There are many, many other people who were involved in rescuing the Jewish people. People from Japan, people from Sweden, people from Portugal, people from Italy, people from all over Europe. Politicians, clergymen, people who were involved in saving Jews from Hitler and from the Holocaust. And today we thank God for those people. And if we had been there at the time, surely we would have done the same. If we had known what was going on, surely we would have sought to rescue the Jewish people. Any right-minded person would have done that. Thank God for the rescuers of the Jewish people. Thank God for Oskar Schindler and for many others who were involved in saving Jewish people from the Holocaust. Yes, 6 million tragically perished in the Holocaust, but how many more would have perished had it not been for people like Schindler and others? Do you know that there's a special name that has been given to Oskar Schindler? There's a special name that has been given to the other people who saved the Jews during the Holocaust. They are referred to as righteous among the nations. The righteous among the nations. And do you know, if you ever go to Jerusalem, there is one place that I would urge you to visit. It's called Yad Vashem. Perhaps some of you have already been there, but if you haven't and you get the chance to go to Jerusalem, make sure that you go to Yad Vashem. It's taken from Isaiah 56 and verse 5, where it speaks of a memorial and a name. Yad Vashem literally means memorial name. And Yad Vashem is a museum to the Jewish people. Yad Vashem is a museum about the Holocaust, about what the Jewish people suffered and went through during the Holocaust. But if you get to Yad Vashem, there is a part of that place, there's a part of that museum that is known as the Garden of the righteous among the nations. And that garden is a beautiful place. I remember the day that we went. What a beautiful day it was. Sun shining. Wind blowing gently through the trees. And as you walked around the garden of the righteous among the nations, there were plaques with names on the plaques. The names of the people who had saved Jews during the Holocaust. Oskar Schindler's name was on a plaque, but there were many other names on plaques. And you know, Jews today and people from all countries around the world come to Yad Vashem today, and they go to the Garden of the Righteous among the Nations, and they pay tribute to those brave men and women who stood up against Nazism and sought to deliver the Jewish people. They are known as righteous among the nations. Ah, but what about Jesus Christ the righteous? Jesus Christ the righteous. Surely if anyone deserves the title righteous among the nations, it must be our Savior. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest of all saviors, the greatest of all rescuers, the greatest of all deliverers. Surely He is the greatest righteous among the nations. Because He came to save a lost world. Yes, He came particularly for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to save the Jews. But He also came, thank God, to save the Gentiles. And that includes you and me. He came to save us. And thank God He came to save us from something far worse than a crematorium. Something far worse than the Holocaust. He is the righteous among the nations. Remember that He came to save all nations. You see, there were people from all nations who tried to save the Jews during the Holocaust. And there were Jewish people from many different nations, from all different nations around Europe who were headed for the concentration camps, but they were rescued by Schindler and these other brave people. Do you know, dear friend, today if you're not saved, you're headed for the worst of all concentration camps. You're headed for an eternal concentration camp. It's a camp that you'll never get out of. But you don't have to go there. You don't have to end up there. Because the righteous among the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to save your soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ today is at God's right hand, and today He waits for you to cry unto Him. Lord Jesus, save my soul. Lord Jesus, restore my soul. Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. Lord, I'm a backslider, restore me. Lord, rescue me today. Dear friend, if you pray that prayer, the Lord Jesus will hear your prayer, and your soul shall be saved.